Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Watch your step now. You're getting on the crazy train. This is the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. And you'll find us on Sports Radio 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 AM. We are live. We are unrehearsed. And if you want to join in the fun, you can just give us a buzz at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Nick Bodie on the boards as usual. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Danny, you look a little tired this morning.
I've been thinking, Tom, it's been a...
Oh, that's dangerous.
It's been a rough nearly 61 years.
Yeah?
It's been a rough stretch.
Yeah.
Well. Get some mileage on me, and getting up in the morning, just, I'm not bouncing up like I used to.
No?
I work hard all week and get up early, and then on Saturday, I have to get up earlier to come here.
Yeah, well.
Who decided the show was going to be from 6 a.m. on?
Well, that's when they had available.
That's
what they had available. But, you know, Danny, really pretty soon now, you know, it'll be light early. There'll be a lot more people out doing things, a lot more people getting out on the water, just getting out early, you know, doing things. A lot of people wait for, you know, spring and summer to come around. A lot of people, you know, I see a lot of people hiking, jogging, walking, you know, whatever, early in the morning. You'll see, you know, activity starts more in the summer. It seems like we hunker down in the winter.
So
more activity in the summer.
Does that mean you'll be out doing some jogging this spring, Tom?
Don't hold your breath. No, I got nowhere to jog to.
You're going to be exercising your brain while you're counting the joggers as they go by your house while you're having a smoke in the driveway.
That's right.
I'll
wave to
them. I'm
going to
wait because
by.
The cute girl with the golden retriever will be coming by soon.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's good. You'll keep that focus. It'll keep that mental.
Yep.
Keep that mind sharp, buddy.
Yep. Got to keep that sharp, right? Because sharp, yeah, like a computer, you know.
You got to retain your genius status.
That's right, yeah.
What does it take to retain the genius status?
I don't know. I'm not genius enough to figure that out yet. I don't know.
There's nothing you don't know, Tom.
Oh, believe me, there's
genius.
A lot I
You're
don't
just
know.
Being modest over
but you
there.
Know, you know what it is? You know how when you get a little older, you start forgetting a few things here and there?
Nope, don't know that. No,
you don't know that. Okay, well, I do.
Okay.
And the thing is that I look at it like our minds are like, let's say, a kitchen table. And you got, and a quarter is a bit of information that you've acquired through the years. And you put that quarter on the table. And as your life goes on, that table ends up full of quarters, right? Now you get a little older and you just learned something new. So you got to put another quarter on the table. But if the table is full of quarters, you put that other quarter on, one quarter falls off. So you forget that one.
Is that where the
So when you start putting more things on, other things fall off.
Is that why they got the expression penny for your thoughts? Because a penny won't quite fit as much on
know.
A table and won't push any quarters off, so you're okay with that?
I don't think so.
You know what? I was listening, though.
You just forget
things. I will say this. As long as we're on the brain subject, I was listening to being as... The only radio station that works in my truck is...
You know, you call me cheap and you won't get a new radio.
Well, you know, I would, but that involves taking your vehicle in and being without a vehicle for a couple of days. If I had a wife and kids, I'd have the wife bring me in the minivan and drop me off.
It wouldn't take that long to get a new radio in. What is it?
I don't know. Tommy, you got to go to the dealer. Everything takes long. Now, nothing's quick. But anyway, where was it going?
You were listening to only one station.
There's a guy talking coast to coast about memory and stuff and enhancing the brain and making. And what happened was he was a magician, and then he, at age 50, doc said he had a bad heart, so he had to start riding a bike. He got bored while riding the bike, and he started trying to memorize cards and memorize presidents and memorize states and all this stuff. And he's developed some mental techniques, and now he's writing books and going working with vets who've had some brain damage or PTSD. And he's talking about how you can develop. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I was talking to a teacher buddy of mine about this week. I had to start helping out in algebra classes about 8-10 years ago. When I got to the school, we had a meeting, and they said, "Bush, what classes do you want to support?" I said, "Anything but math." Well, guess where I'm at? Do you realize I've learned more math in the last 8 years? I don't remember ever doing a quadratic formula in high school or college. I don't remember doing any of this stuff. So I had to learn on the fly so I could then work with kids on it. And I will say that I think I've staved off Alzheimer's by at least 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I do believe I've formed.
I believe it.
I mean,
yeah.
Your brain is a muscle like anything. And it was so bad when I first started. I would wake up in the middle of summer when school's not going on. It's my fishing season. And I would be solving a math problem in my head. I'd wake up and I'd be solving a problem.
Really?
And I'd be like, and I'd be solving it correctly. And I'm like, oh, that's the answer to that. I mean, you stimulate your mind. Mm-hmm. And so the brain is amazing, and you should exercise it.
And I forgot more math than I've learned. When I was doing my apprenticeship to be a machinist, we had to learn all kinds of math, even trigonometry. And we had a book for that, for the sines, cosines, tangents, cotangents, and all that. And to figure out all the different radiuses and angles and whatever. I forgot every bit of that stuff. Well, you know, like you said, it's kind of like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
You know, and if you're not using it, well, what's the sense of remembering it, you know? So, anyway,
yeah,
I know
so everybody get out there and try and learn something new today. Keep your mind fresh. Well, maybe, Tom, that brings us back to, like, having a passion like hunting and fishing.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I get questions, and I'm sure you do too, Danny. Fishing questions and hunting questions, right? And I had every now and then when I'm at Sherper's, you know, we're talking with a customer about stuff, they're looking at fishing stuff, and they'll ask me a question, and sometimes they're really good questions. I had this little girl, she was probably about maybe 10, 11, 12. She's with her dad, they're looking at fishing stuff, and she says to me, "Do bright colors attract fish?" You know, and I never really sat down and thought about it. Do bright colors attract fish? And then I started thinking about the colors that we use.
Chartreuse.
Yeah, the colors that we use for lures. And I said, you know what? There might be some truth to that. Bright colors do attract fish. Yeah. But, I mean, granted, a nightcrawler doesn't. I mean, fish use their senses, you know, sight and hearing and smell and all that. You know, they can smell really good, you know. But the thing is that when it comes to visual stuff, yeah, sure, bright colors attract fish. But then I was thinking this. I was talking to another fella. And years ago, for walleyes, on the pro walleye tour, the hot color for jigs for walleyes was either a pink and purple or pink and blue combination. And you know, at that time, that was really the hot color, right? And I was talking to this one fella, as a matter of fact, our friend, Keith, the electrician, and he said purple is turning out to be a real hot color for him. Last year it was on the Rock River. But then I'm thinking, down in, let's say, 20 feet of water in a dirty colored river where you can only see down a foot maybe or two, can the fish really see that color down in 20 feet, you know? I mean, it's got to be pretty dark down there, pretty dirty and dingy, you know what I mean? Can they really see those colors? I don't know.
Well, you know? As soon as a walleye learns how to talk, maybe,
we'll
Tom,
find out.
We can find out. But one thing that I will say, as soon as you think you know it all about hunting and fishing, and you just... Then
you don't.
You get worse.
I'll tell you what.
You got to keep trying. You got to keep being open to new ideas and new things, because I think too many of us, and I've been guilty of this too, I get set in my old ways using these baits and using that, and something new that comes out. One of the things that where I'm most guilty of it is I never really jumped on the soft plastics or rubber baits, whatever. When Bulldogs came out, yeah, I threw them now and then. Yeah, I caught a couple pike on them up on Lake of the Woods and, you know, had some musky follows. But I never really would use them for near as much time as what I would other baits. And nowadays, there's some guys, that's all they're chucking. And they've had a lot of success on it. To me, it looked like a big creepy crawler going through the water. Remember creepy crawlers?
Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those sets?
Yep.
I made a creepy crawler bait. I think I still have it in my tackle box when I was like a little kid, where as it was baking in the mold, I put a hook into the belly of like this frog. And I made it like an orange, but it looked more like a cross between a toad and a frog. And it didn't work, but I still kept it in my tackle box because it looked pretty cool.
Well, you know, I find that I've been at this fishing game for a long time. And for years, I was on the water an average of 4 days a week during the season. And I learned quite a bit, okay? But I find that I still learn stuff to this day. I learn new stuff. And sometimes it comes from the most inobvious person that you can think of. Give you an example. One time, I'm up on Winnebago. I'm fishing these little bays up by Asylum Bay. And there's crappies. Early in the season, there's a lot of crappies, bluegills, and the bass come in, and it's really good fishing. Anyway, and my youngest son at the time was like 15 years old. And he's catching crappie after crappie, and I'm getting just maybe one here and there. He's catching five, six, seven to my one. And I said, and we're using mini mites, you know, and I said, what are you doing different? We're using the same stuff. We're fishing the same area. And he goes, I don't know, you know, just fishing, you know. He doesn't know. I said, show me exactly what you're doing. Well, what he was doing different, okay, we're in, let's say, about 6 feet of water. I'd let the bait sink down about halfway and then just start working it back, right? He was letting it go all the way to the bottom, wait until his line got slack, and then started bringing it up. It was the sensation of that bait coming from the bottom going up rather than wiggling above, you know. And he was popping fish. I started doing that. I started catching fish like crazy. So I learned something new.
Well, it is true. I've been on the pier on Lake Michigan chucking spoons, and there's been one guy on the pier that – got one, another one, fish on, and everybody's looking at him like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But we found that you can vary the retrieve a lot. And sometimes fishing that Kenosha Harbor, you'd have to experiment. It's 30 feet deep or whatever you cast out, let the spoon go to the bottom and start working it back. Or count it down to like count to 10 and work it back halfway through the water column.
Right.
Varying the retrieve, pausing it, letting it flutter. All that can make a difference. And you got to be observant. I think the best fishermen are the ones that are the observant ones.
Right.
Observing. Sometimes I learn more observing other fishermen than what they told me.
I'll give you, you know, when we come back after this break, I got a great tip for that observing of fishermen, all right? We'll talk about that and more. And if you want to get involved in the show, 414-799-1250 or email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. We'll be right back, folks. So stay tuned. We got a lot more coming up.
Why are you pointing at me? Oh welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. And hey, if you want to get on the crazy train with us, you can email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can call, if you're not scared and shy, you can give us a call at 799-1250. We'll field your questions, and or you can give us reports.
Or comments.
Hunting, yeah. Fishing, marriage counseling problems, whatever you need, we got it here. Yeah. So give us a call.
Okay, getting back to our topic about...
What was our topic?
About fishing
what
and
learning.
What was
I saying about improving
new,
my memory and mind?
Yeah, learning things, you know.
Yes, oh yes.
Continuing to learn things as we grow older in this field of our endeavors. But here's one question that I'll ask. Like if guys are catching fish, or let's say it was at a tournament and they come in and they got a bag of fish, you know. I'm not going to ask them where they were fishing.
Cheaters, they got an extra live well under their boat.
You know, they're not going to tell you where they were fishing. They're not going to tell you what they were using. But one thing that they'll tell you that gives you a great indication
is what they weren't
doing. Ask them, how deep were you fishing? When you know, if they say, we were fishing, six, 4 to 6 feet, or if they said 18, 20 feet, you got an idea of where they were fishing, you know, from the depth. Because, you know, like in bass, they will pattern themselves, you know. And you can find them, like, in the same depths of water around the same structures in different areas of lakes, you know. So, yeah, I ask them, how deep were you fishing?
First of all, Tom, they're probably not going to tell you exactly because they know they were fishing exactly 15 feet.
Well,
They'll tell you 13 to 18 feet.
Well, that's fine.
Wiley,
that's good.
The Wiley tournament angler is never going to give you exact
information. No, not exactly. But if they give me that range, that gives me an idea. That gives me an idea.
Tom, you know what I do? I just watch where their boat was.
Oh, you know, hey, speaking of that.
Okay,
there's a couple of guys that at the spring muskie tournament, the spring bass tournament, that's held on Pewaukee every year. I forget who holds it. Anyway, these guys come in with six fish that are usually weighing 25 pounds. I mean, awesome average, like five, almost 6 pound average.
Yes.
They're all smallies. They're all monsters.
I remember though. I talked to those guys 15 years, 10 years ago.
And
whatever.
They always do good. Yeah. Right. Every year. So I'm thinking if a guy wants to know where they're fishing, just sit out in the lake, and when they take off, go follow them. Or have a drone. Have a drone showing where all these different boats go, because all these guys are going to go to their favorite spots, right, where they think the fish are. Have a drone. See where they all go. Mark it down on the map. You'll have all these great spots to go to.
I guess you got way too much time to think on your hands there when you're dreaming of the Neubauer drones,
the spy drone,
the new spy.
They'll probably outlaw that.
Actually, I talked to those guys years ago when I was working at Smokey's Muskie Shop Bar and Casino. These guys came in and showed me pictures of some more 5-pounders they'd caught,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was early June. And they told me they were fishing off the white condos on the West End in about 16, 18
mm-hmm.
feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
They were fishing deep, off plastics.
Just off the weed edge.
They were working. And I've seen other boats working. Now, I've heard stories that there's rocks down there. Another story that I heard was that, and this is near the old Muskie Bills area,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Another story I read, I don't know if it's true or not, but that at one time, I don't know, before the lake was flooded or filled up, whatever, that there was like some salvage type thing where there's old cars and stuff down at the bottom. I don't know. I've heard some stories. There might be
an old car or two laying around in that lake from years ago. But any rock or gravel that's down there is silted over.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much silted
especially
over.
Especially on that end of the lake where it tends to get,
it's silted over, But you could have a harder bottom, you know, even though it's silted over, it could be a harder bottom.
Well, I think Walleye's, the Pewaukee chapter of Walleye's for Tomorrow, I believe, has been working on maybe getting some more rock structure out there and stuff.
I don't see why they did this out at Long Lake up by Dundee. They built an artificial rock reef. Well, man-made rock reef. They could do that at Pewaukee. They could put several of them in that lake or rock reef somewhere, you know, and, you know, with gravel, not so much big rocks, but, you know, gravel stuff. They could do that, and maybe it would enhance maybe some spawning activity.
Well, what do smallies prefer? Do they want gravel or big rock?
No. First of all, no fish wants big rock. No fish. No, and smallies, they'll bed in silt. You know, on sandy bottoms, it could be a little bit of muck, but they're going to fan away that silt, you know. You'll find them in the shallower water, just like with largemouth, you know.
How about walleyes?
And there, it's more of a gravel.
That's what I thought.
Small pea-sized gravel areas, yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, so you find that, you know. It's like I tell people with crappies in the summertime. You're going to find boatloads of crappies on a deep weed line edge. Not every deep weed line edge is going to have them, but somewhere, if you're fishing a deep weed line edge down the side of a lake somewhere, you know, that eventually you will run into them. You know, you will find them eventually because there will be schools of them on those weed line edges. We, you know, every lake we go to, we find them on deep weed line edges. You know, every lake we go to, everyone. So, you know what? I got some good news for you, Danny.
You just saved a whole lot of money.
I'm going to give away some Mini Mite 2s and 3s today.
Mini Mite 2s and 3s. Hold that.
I got some for you. Don't worry. Okay. All right. I got yours put away, your Mini Mite 2s.
Okay. All right. That's.
But
I'm happy now.
Yeah, I came into a windfall of a bunch of Mini Mite 2s and 3s, and Ron, our advertising manager, said, why don't you give some away on the show? And I said, you know what? That's a good idea. So you know what we're going to do during this break? Guess you know what we're going to do, Nick? During the break, you'll have time to field some phone calls. What? It's an assortment of 2s and 3s, you know, a handful of them. Whatever colors you get, okay? They're going to be assorted weird colors,
is that
whatever.
The Neubauer disclaimer?
Yeah, And so what number caller do you want, Nick, to take during the break?
Nick doesn't want anyone to call. He's trying to chill back there.
Second caller? Oh, Nick's saying the second caller he'll take during the break. So
during the break?
During the break, not now.
So they can't call now?
No, not now.
So everybody who is hitting us on speed dial.
No, don't call now. Once we go into a commercial break, 799-1250 will be the phone number. You call it, Nick will take the second caller, and he'll get your name and address, and I'll send you off a bunch of Mini Mike 2s and 3s, you know, an assortment.
Yeah. Are you going to, like, give stuff away later in the show so
yeah.
we got incentive for people
yep.
to
we're
continue
give away,
listening to us?
Yeah, we're
going to
give away some more Mini Mike 2s and 3s. And I'll tell you what, the Mini Mike 3s might be very good for those river walleyes.
Now, wait a second.
That's even a little bit bigger than the 2s.
You got some of those for me, too?
If you'd like.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Jeez. Giving stuff to people we don't even know and sitting right next to you.
Hey, Danny, I always got them for you. I got them for you. Don't worry. I got you covered. Okay. I got you.
Sounds good. How about a new tent from – I'm going to go camping in May. I got to get
a
new tent.
Are you going up by –
preferably one that doesn't leak.
Up in Door County?
A lot of towels.
Where are you going, up in Door County?
Yeah, I'm going up to the old Wagon Wheel resort up there. Yeah. I'll be up in God's Country, Rowley's Bay, Mink River.
Yeah.
Then we go over to the Bayside and fish all those. And each year we branch out and go to more and more places.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be my first vacation of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's great. Well, Nick, I think it's about time we go to a break. Coming up next, folks, we got the Gut Report. What do you do with some of that leftover cabbage you got from St. Patty's Day?
Didn't we have a cabbage one last week?
No, you said not. I shouldn't do the cabbage
one. Okay, go ahead.
So
you can do a cabbage one.
This week I'm going to do the Asian cabbage.
Do you realize cabbage is really good for you?
It is, and I like it.
It's good for your testosterone levels.
Did
you realize
really?
That? Broccoli, cauliflower, the cabbage family, yep.
Yeah, and so
you got to start incorporating that more into your diet. That's why I like to go to the Chinese place and get sesame chicken with all that broccoli in.
All right, we got
calories.
That coming up. Gut Report next, so stay tuned. Don't forget, second caller, Nick will take your name and address, and you'll get some free Mini Mites. We'll be right back with more.
Come here, I'm gonna eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, we were talking about you got some leftover cabbage. Maybe didn't use that whole head of cabbage. This is what I did this a few weeks back, or actually longer than a few weeks ago, and I've been meaning to do this on the Gut Report. Asian cabbage. This is really simple. You take an onion, slice it up Oriental style, okay, and put it in a pan with a little butter or a little oil. All right, get it soft. Then you put in your diced, cut-up cabbage, all right? Cut it up any way you want. I don't care. Any way you want. Like a quarter of a head or a half a head of cabbage. Put that in there. Put a little salt and pepper. And then you get it wilted down so it's soft. This is when you add the two ingredients that make it Asian cabbage. Now, you can add more stuff to it. You can put bean sprouts in it, green pepper, do whatever you want. But this is the basic thing. Onions, cabbage, and then you put soy sauce and Frank's sweet chili sauce. Those two items. As much, you know, soy as you want and as much Frank's. Now, Frank's is a little spicy, the chili sauce, the sweet chili sauce, a little spicy. So, you know, you put as much in there as you want. You mix that all together, and I'll tell you what, that is really, really tasty. It's like you went to the Chinese restaurant and got something, you know? Really, it's really good. So, and then, if you want to spice it up even a little bit more, well, not spice it up, but you could add diced chicken in there. You could add any kind of meat that you want, really. You could dice it up and put it in there. What really is good, too, is bacon. Now, I know that's not Asian, but bacon is good with everything, right? Anyway, the Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials and the biggest selection that you can find of all your wines, beers, and liquors, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thank you, Tom, for that wonderful gut report there.
Danny, I got some news.
Got some news. Well, you're just full of surprises.
I'm just full
today.
Of stuff today. And later on in the show, we will be giving away another one-year free subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine. So people better stay tuned for that.
The greatest magazine in Wisconsin.
All right, here's the news, special news, and I'll give this out a couple of times today.
All right.
But when people play the Hornswoggle, which is coming up after the 6:45 break, after this next break.
That's correct, sir.
Okay, Carl's Country Market is our sponsor for that. Now, not only do they got great meats and sausages and all kinds of stuff out there, it's a great place, but Carl's gas station, which is right next door to Carl's Country Market, their gas station, they now have in the gas station right now, live bait.
What?
They've got live bait.
Carl's?
Yeah, Carl's. Yeah, they got live bait now. Now they got wax worms, night crawlers, leaf worms, red worms. Now, they don't have minnows, you know, but the worms. They got the different worms. So for that area, let's face it, there's nowhere in that area to get live bait. Now you got a place to get live bait at Carl's Country Market in the gas station.
Just here's an important safety tip, Egon. Make sure that first you go and buy the meat and all the food products, store it away, then go in and grab and handle the bait. Otherwise, you don't want to be grabbing and going in, grabbing a bunch of bait and stuff, and then going in handling the food.
Well, you know, over the years, Danny, the bait and tackle shops have really gone away. I mean, there's not a lot many around. You know, you got Dick Smith's out there on 94 and 83, and then try to think of one. Where are other ones? You know, I mean, they're just not around like that. Years ago, they used to be all over the place. Now there's not very many. So what you end up finding is your live bait at gas stations. So, but out at Carl's, nobody has live bait out there. And Carl's is on Pilgrim and Silver Spring. Now, Sherper's and Hale's Corners, we're going to be handling live bait this year too, but we probably won't get that for a few more weeks. So people will be able to get live bait here in Hale's Corners then.
So when will Smokey's Muskie Shop have live bait? What's the time frame on that?
Well, they don't open. Smokey's Muskie Bait and Tackle Shop doesn't open until, I think it's April 28th. It's a Saturday before opening. That's when we have the Mistake on the Lake.
Does that coincide with Mistake on the
Lake? Mistake on the Lake is the opening, the official opening. Now, Ron and I were out at Smokey's. Was it Wednesday and Thursday? Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday. Okay. We got a whole bunch of new tackle in, so we were, you know, receiving this stuff, pricing it, hanging in it, and we got to go back out again on Monday. But while we were there, four customers came in and bought stuff, even though we weren't even open yet. They just happened to see a couple cars there, and they came in. People getting ready for the season that's coming up, you know.
Well,
but live bait, well, we won't have that until we open.
And right next door to where I'm at, the Beach Harbor. What?
Well, yeah, that place.
Right next, yeah, right next to me. They haven't been open this winter.
Yeah.
I think it's Beach Harbor. I live right next door, and I can't remember. But anyway, or Beachside Boat and Tackle. They haven't been open this winter, and I'd oftentimes see people would pull into the driveway, drive around, see they were closed, and then they'd come up to me and go, where can I get bait?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'd have to send them to the BP gas station.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
gas stations are now once Smokey's is open. I mean, they will have all the different minnows, all the different live bait you can think of. They'll have it all. So, but that's not for a while yet. Yeah, Smokey's closes for the winter too. You know, they don't do the winter stuff. So you know you got to look around for live bait. So now Carl's has got it, and he's. Paul is happy about it. We got to get Paul on the air. You know, Paul, who runs Carl's Country Market, he was up wolf hunting up in Canada, got three wolves. And then
recently?
Yeah, just like a month or month and a half, 2 months ago, whatever, month and a half ago. And then he was ice fishing up in Canada someplace and showed me a picture of a 30-inch walleye he got. But the pictures of the wolves are pretty cool. He was holding one up.
They always hold them with the bear hug, and it makes it look like they're enormous.
Well, these were about a 150-pounder that he's holding up. He said there was a lot to take to hold it up, you know. It was a big wolf.
Was it a big black one? I've always wanted to shoot a big black wolf.
No, it was kind of like that mottled color, brownish, blackish. You know, I
did he talk, like, tactics? What are they doing?
No, we
up
didn't
there?
Really get into it. He was busy with something, so he just had to show me some quick pictures. I had to give him information for the live bait and all that. And
I think a lot of times in the wintertime, a lot of those wolves use lakes, and you can catch them crossing open ice areas. I talked to a Canadian outfitter years ago that I used to go, oh, this is going back 25 years ago. We'd go up and pike fish on his lake, but he said... If we'd be interested to get a bunch of guys, he'd always wanted to get a bunch of snowmobiles come on in and stake out the lake because he said the wolves are running across the ice like crazy. You'd probably want to have your long range 243 and do it. And a lot of people listening might be shocked to hear you say he shot three wolves because down here in the States, you know, you'd get in less trouble probably, you know. Wolves are like killing a person. They figure, oh, my God, they're going to throw the guy in prison for life.
Yeah.
But up there, you can shoot wolves with a small game license.
Yeah.
There's plenty of wolves.
There's lots of wolves up there, yeah.
In fact, remember your story about Isle Royal where they're bringing in the...
Canadian wolves. Our wolves weren't good enough.
You were correct, Tom. I've read some things.
Of course
which,
I was
which,
correct.
Which other people have agreed that said, for cripe's sake, and you were the one who had the idea years way back a year ago, why don't you let some people go in and hunt some of those surplus?
Sell
some licenses.
You can make a lot of money. What do they call that service? Is that the Federal Park Reserve? Whatever they call that. Whoever runs that.
The
feds.
The big shots.
They could actually make money on it. Instead of costing money to do it, they could make money doing it. And I'm sure the wolves, whether they get eaten by, the moose, whether they get eaten by a wolf or shot with a gun, does it really matter if you want to reduce the amount of moose? Either way, it's going to work.
I think the wolf
the wolf is going to take longer.
The moose would prefer to be shot.
Yeah.
Actually, did you get one of our listeners sent us a comic which showed like a helicopter coming in
and dropping, it's a wolf.
Dropping a wolf, and the wolf is like a special forces type thing with a knife.
Yeah,
like they're dropping him in to assassinate the moose.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to thank our listeners.
Thanks to some of our very good listeners. Oh, and while we're at it, we want to thank all of our listeners. We want to thank the police officers out there, the guys out there protecting us. So if you're state patrol, local, DNR, all law enforcement, we respect what you do to protect our country and think that you do a great job. Also, our first responders and military folk.
Oh, yeah, military folk, too, definitely. Well, we got to go to a break, folks. So coming up next, we're going to be playing the Hornswoggle, which is brought to you by Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. They're on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road. Great sausages, great meats, and they got a lot more there than what you think. You got to stop in and see everything that they have at Carl's Country Market. Great place. You'll like it. It's big and it's got a lot of stuff. And now we're going to play the Hornswoggle, and I'm sure you know how to play it. Danny's going to make three statements. You're going to say whether it's a Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle. 414-799-1250. You will win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market if you are correct in two out of three. We'll be right back with more right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. Hunting, fishing reports, say hey, give us a call. Email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com. That's not Yahoo's, even though you might be tempted to put Yahoo's, because we are a couple of Yahoo's here, but yahoo.com. Right now we've got our Hornswoggle segment, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to make three statements, and our astute greatly learned listener will hopefully be able to discern whether or not I speaketh truth or am speaking with a forked tongue. How'd that expression used to come out? He speaks with fork. That means you're lying. So if I'm not telling the truth, it's a Hornswoggle. And if I tell the truth, it's no Hornswoggle. So we've got Rocky on the line. Let's go to Rocky. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good morning, Rocky.
All right. You've played before, so you know how this one works. So here we go. Daryl J. Lawrence was the founder of the Lawrence brand, which we now know as Lawrence Great Fish Locators. In fact, his original one was called the Fish L-O-K-T-O-R, otherwise known as the Little Green Box. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That sounds like a no
Hornswoggle. No Hornswoggle.
Oh, and did you know he just passed away?
Yes.
Yeah, he just passed away.
Yep. Yes, I did, Tom. Okay, here we go. J.J. Hickenlooper founded the Hickenlooper Bait Company in 1964, and his first bait was the Hickenlooper Jelly Worm.
Cool. I'm going to have to say that sounds like a no Hornswoggle as well.
No, that was a Hornswoggle.
Oh, come on, Rocky.
Okay, that was a
Hickenlooper?
Okay, so I think there's a congressman called Hickenlooper, though. There actually is some
Wasn't that one of those guys Butch Cassidy robbed money from? Like, I feel like that's just on the side of a train, J.J. Hickenlooper. Trust in funds.
I don't know.
Well, you got
okay,
one more
so
chance,
here we
Rocky.
Go. What many people refer to in Wisconsin as a gopher is actually the 13-line ground squirrel. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to have to say Hornswoggle.
Oh, that was a no Hornswoggle,
oh.
Rocky. Dang.
Oh.
Man,
well. There's always next
there's
time.
There's always next time, yeah. So feel free to give a shot again there.
Yeah. Thanks for playing, Rocky.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye now. Hey, I got another exciting thing, newsworthy thing for you, Danny.
What?
April 13th. That's only like, what, 3 weeks away? April 13th is the spring fishing clinic for kids.
Oh!
Yeah, Brown Deer Park, Dineen Park, Greenfield Park, McCarty Park, McGovern Park. I'm a bunch of them. Is going to have the thing for kids, and that's going to be on April 13th. And we'll let you know about it, too, the week before it happens and the same day, so... You know,
you think we can have what's his name call us? Is it EB?
No.
Get a call from him? He could used to tell us about those.
No, he would run his own on
he's got his
June 1st.
He can always call us about those, too.
Right. Who do you got on the line, Nick?
We got Joe calling us all the way from the very far off land of, I think it was Monticello. Gosh, it's early this morning.
Monticello?
Where?
Not Monticello, the European country. Joe, where are you from?
It's Joe from Monaco.
Joe from Monaco.
Joe.
I didn't know it was Monaco. Luxembourg, one of those.
Yeah. Monaco.
Sorry about that, Joe.
I had to laugh very hard when you boys were talking about that comic I sent you.
Oh, yeah.
Isle Royale.
Oh, you sent that to us.
Sent that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That was good.
Yeah. The wolves dropping in from helicopters about ready to take those moose out.
And don't worry, that didn't cost the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service much money to do that.
No. Hey.
I think that Tom had a great idea a few months ago when he was talking about, taking care of them with hunting.
Yeah, selling licenses. Yeah, I bet you could get guys to pay $500 a piece for that.
And they wouldn't bat an eye.
Exactly. Wouldn't bat an eye.
Nope.
Not an eye. And,
well, fishing report for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out this morning on the lake. It's going to be 50 degrees out. I'm going to go sit on a bucket, see what happens.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. Sit on a bucket.
There's no need for a shelter nowadays. So.
I'm sorry, Joe. I haven't ice fished in years. And, I was just talking about this with a guy the other day. And I said, I like fishing, right? I really enjoy
it.
But when you're ice fishing and the fish aren't biting in the holes that you have set up around, let's say, your shanty or in your shanty, then you got to move. Now, when you move, you got to drill another hole, sit over that hole a while.
And drag everything over.
And then go and drill another hole, sit over that hole. Whereas when you're in a boat, you can move around easily. You can cast. You can cover more water because you're casting and bringing it through an area, Ice fishing, to me, is just boring. I mean, it is. It's just boring.
Tommy, that's why God gave Busch Light.
Gave what?
Busch Light.
Why is that?
Well, because you can have beer while you're fishing.
I can have beer at home and not be sitting on a bucket. And I prefer whiskey when I was ice fishing. But anyway.
Works faster. Yeah, you have a good day.
A lot quicker. Yeah, and by the way, for listeners who don't know this, you should not drink alcohol when you're out in the cold and on the ice because it actually makes you more susceptible to hypothermia.
Yep, and definitely don't do it when you're boating because you have to drive.
Oh, yeah, definitely don't do that. But so you're going to be – what are you going to be targeting today? Just panfish.
Well, panfish. I mean, I could put tip-ups out because there is no DNR out here, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh, cut it out. Come on, Joe. I suppose you're one that believes if you don't get caught, it's not illegal, right?
If you're not cheat, well, what is it that you said last year? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That was Bill Belichick.
That's trying hard enough.
Yeah, that's Bill Belichick's
Belichick quote. Yeah,
yeah. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. And if you get caught, you're not trying hard enough.
No, today I'm going to target mostly panfish.
Yeah.
Crappies and bluegills.
Now that Monaco is about in the middle of the state, you'd say.
It's northern Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so you're looking at even line between Crandon and Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. And you still got a lot of ice on the lakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has some of that snow gone down? Has some of that snow gone down now?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of the snow's gone down. I'm sure your Boulder Junction connection would say the same.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a lot of slush on the ice, so you have a crust of about a quarter of an inch of actual ice on top, and then you break through and it goes down to water and then back down to about 18 inches of ice.
Okay. Hey, Joe, how do you listen to us?
I listen to you guys via your radio.com app.
So that works, huh?
It does.
Good.
Yeah,
excellent.
It is honestly something I look forward to every Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
Really? What? Now, why do you get – are you up for a – specific purpose? I know you can't get up just to hear this show.
I actually woke up this morning out of a dead sleep just to turn the show on.
Really?
Yes.
Do you usually work on Saturdays or anything?
I work a swing shift at a factory, so it's every other Saturday I actually work, and luckily I either get done with work at 6 a.m. or I start work at 6 a.m. so I can put you guys right in my earbuds and listen to you guys all morning.
Well, that's awesome, Joe. We appreciate that. More people ought to get that What's that called again?
The radio.com app.
Yeah, radio.com app.
Radio.com app.
Yeah. Yep. Well, listen, we got to go to our break. It's top of the hour. So thanks for calling, Joe.
Can't wait for the second hour, boys.
All right. Take it easy. Bye now.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, we're rounding the bend.
And headed to home.
We got one more hour here on the crazy train, the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. So if you got your ticket punched for the full 2 hours, well, then you're good to go. 799-1250 is the phone number. CEOguys@yahoo.com is the email address. He's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. And Nick Bodie is on the board. So if you want to get mad at anybody, get mad at him.
Whoa.
Don't get mad at us. Get mad at him. Isn't that a producer's job to field the flack?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of controversy over here. Like, he's got the wrong brand ice fishing rod.
Yeah. Yeah.
I confess, it's Tom's fault.
You know, when speaking about ice fishing rods, you go into some of these stores that carry a lot of stuff. It's a hard decision for a lot of guys and gals what fishing rod to get, what fishing reel. There are so many different ones, and there's so many good ones, you know. Which one do I get? There's so many. They're all over the place.
Just be thankful you're a guy, Tom, because in addition to deciding between fishing rods, and you'd be trying to decide between shoes your whole life, and between those two things, you'd go nuts.
Oh, no, I don't decide there. I don't give it a second thought.
Guys get by with, like, 5 pair of shoes on average.
I think I've
on
got...
On average, yeah. Think about it.
No, I got three.
Okay, now think about a woman.
My mom's closet
was full of.
She's got that one closet. It's a smaller closet. It's got to be about 4 feet tall, 3 feet deep, 3 feet wide. Boxes.
414-799-1250 number to dial. Let us know how many pairs of shoes does your wife own. I know for me, my mom's got a walk-in closet that's bigger than my first dorm room was.
What's going on? Same with bathrooms, right? A guy has maybe 6 items in the bathroom: his toothbrush, his razor, this and that. A woman has about 75, of which the man can only identify about 6 of them, what they are.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Or the kitchen's my favorite. One year my parents had a St. Patrick's Day party, and my mom at the time was with Pampered Chef. She had all these crazy gadgets, and one of her friends at the party started picking things out of a drawer, holding them up and seeing if anybody can name it. So like, oh, that's a cherry pitter. Oh, that's for this. That's for that. We should do that with hunting equipment and Tom, just obscure stuff from Sherpers.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. We should, you know what would be fun, Danny?
It's Popeil's Pocket Fisherman.
We should see if Sherpers would hire us to do a meet and greet, you and me, at Sherpers.
Yeah.
Someday. Some evening.
A meet and greet?
A meet and greet.
Let's do it this summer once I'm off for the summer and I got lots of time. And
we could do it at the Hales Corner store, the Oconomowoc store.
Then I'll look better.
The Port Washington store.
Lose a few pounds now. Yeah.
Do all the stores.
What?
You know?
Wait a second. We're going to do a circuit now?
Yeah. We'll go on tour.
Is
this going to
interfere? Nick, you're going to be a roadie for us?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, groupies. Will we have groupies?
Oh, I doubt it.
Oh, then I'm out.
I'll be the guy who has to find the live bait source in every new town we go to.
There you go.
Maybe a guy could do a reality show where you travel the U.S. and you go fishing in different places. You go in, they film you going into the local bait shop. You're talking to Joe Schmo. You go to the local gin mill, sit on a stool, talk to some locals, get some lore, go out, do some fishing. And that would be your whole premise of your show. And then the next week, you don't even know where you're going to be. You're just on the road.
Yeah.
And then you get, you'll be driving a nice truck with a nice boat, which, so your sponsors, right? They get to see that.
Yep,
nice,
yep,
look
yep.
at that nice Chevy truck they drive each time.
Yeah.
On you the know, road with Dan and Tom.
Yep, that would be fun. You know, I enjoy actually, Danny, I enjoy going to a lake I've never been to before and, you know, go bass fishing on that lake.
Right.
I enjoy that. It's kind of like hunting, you know. I mean, it's, you know, if you catch a fish cast after cast after cast, you get bored after a while, you know. I mean, you got to have some little bit of a thrill there, excitement, a little challenge. You got to have a challenge. And I like that challenge of going just to a lake I've never been to before. Because did I ever tell you I guided people on a number of lakes that I'd never been on? They hired me to guide them, and when they found out that I'd never been on a lake before, they said, nah, never mind. And I said, why? You know, fish don't know where they're living. Come on, let's go. And we would find fish. The toughest one was the, what's that flowage name up by,
Okay.
High Falls Flowage.
High Falls Flowage.
That was the
That's a deep, clear lake. And I've heard, that can be.
And what's the other one that's right next to it?
Cauldron Falls.
Cauldron Falls. Yeah, I wasn't on that one, but on High Falls, that was a tough one. But we eventually found fish, yeah.
I was on Cauldron Falls Flowage years ago in my little 14-foot aluminum boat. And I launched, and I went pretty far. And we had a windstorm that came through. It actually blew down trees on one side of the flowage. And I was stuck across the lake. I just pulled up around kind of an area where I was hunkered down out of the, wind and waves were coming directly from where I had launched.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after a couple hours, I thought, well, I got to get back. So I put all the weight. I had a cooler, you know, with a bunch of Busch Light. Mm-hmm. And yes, Joe, I agree with you. Tom here, North Shore Nancy over here. Oh, don't have beer on the ice. So I had some Busch Light in front. I had weight in front of the boat. And I put all the weight in front, and I hunkered down, and I was going along, and I swear to God, the front of the boat was like pointed towards the sky.
Yeah.
And then I would kind of connect the dots. As I recall, there were some islands, so I would try and go to an island, so I'd be kind of leeward, and then I'd keep going. See, I made it back okay.
Yeah. You know, I took some chances, and I don't recommend people taking chances like this, but when I was younger and fishing bass tournaments, I was a little stupid. We were fishing this tournament on the Mohocson Flowage.
Mohocson.
Yeah. And there was a river that came in, flowed into it, and flowed out of it. And the spot I wanted to go to, You either had to go around these islands the long way, or you could take a shot between them to get where I wanted to go. But it was shallower and it was full of stumps. Now, would the sane, normal person would go around, take the long way around,
right?
You know, the deeper water, but not me. Nope, I had to go through the shallow stump field to get to my spot quick, and I didn't hit a stump, but I came so close. A stump went under the side of the boat where the boat actually tilted to the side. It tilted, but it didn't hit the outboard, thank goodness. But the boat tilted to the side, and the guy, and that was one of those tournaments where you fished with a different guy each day.
Right.
I think that guy's pants were a little wet and not from the lake water.
So it was.
Yeah, you don't want to take dumb chances
like
that.
Well, in the days before GPS and stuff, too, and I mean, when I went up to Lake of the Woods years ago, I had a handheld GPS, but it wasn't exact. Like an island would look like someone drew it, like with a crayon, you know, just straight lines.
Yeah, yeah.
It
was a little square.
Like a little square or triangle, and I guess this must be this island on the map. And I went to some spots where I remember Steve Milliot went up there with me one time, and we went through an area, and he looked at the map later, and he was just laughing, going, oh, my God, he says, you went through a minefield there. I can't believe you went through that. You know, and we didn't hit
and
a rock
or lucky.
Anything.
You got lucky.
I got lucky, yeah. I went through it, and, but nowadays it's a lot easier, the technology and the maps that you have out there make it a lot safer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one time on the Wisconsin River, I found out that sandbars, They polish your stainless steel props really pretty. Make them really shiny. I got stuck on one once.
Oh, you got stuck on
Oh, yeah. Went on a sandbar. I didn't know it was there. I mean, those sandbars in the Wisconsin River, fishing it for a number of years, they move. You know, these sandbars will move from year to year, you know, and because of all the flowing water, they'll just tend to move. And I went up on this one, and I finally got out of it. But the thing was, is that, seriously, the stainless steel prop, it like made it nice and shiny and smooth. And I didn't intend for that to happen. But another time on the St. Croix River, where a friend of mine and I were going northbound, and we're going about half throttle with an 85 horse outboard, okay? About half throttle. And there's an island in the middle of the river. Now we have to decide which side of the island do we go on to go keep going up the river. And we saw some boats that were on docks, and there was quite a big opening between the island and the shore and that, and there were some docks on the island. So we figure, oh, that must be the deep water because, you know, there's boats there and that. Well, we went the wrong way. It went from 8 feet of water down to like 8 inches of water. Like in a blink of an eye. And the lower unit kind of looked like the letter J, you know. And we limped our way back. But you can be fooled on rivers. You got to be careful on rivers.
On Lake of the Woods, I always felt one of my best friends were the pelicans because they'd look like they were standing on water, but they were standing on a rock.
Oh, or, you know, oh, that's a good clue. Yeah.
So the pelicans were my friends.
Mm. You know what's another good tip? And this one was told to me by Tony Rizzo. He told me, and this is a long time ago, he told me that when you see loons on a lake diving and then coming up and then diving and coming up, that's a good place to fish for muskies. He says, because those loons are going down grabbing
fish.
Small fish. Yeah.
Right.
That's a good place to cast for muskies. Just don't try to catch a loon, you know, but that's a good place to go. And he was right. One time, I mean, not every time when we saw loons did we catch fish, but one time we did.
Right.
So
I think a loon could potentially go for your bait, though, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was always worried about. I had an owl grab a bait on me one time. I had a big...
An owl grabbed the bait?
At night fishing, yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, actually, the owl cut the line itself with its talons, but I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, it was just, you know, at that time in the morning, the sun isn't up yet, but it's starting to get light a little bit.
Yep.
And I was throwing, it was a jitterbug, as a matter of fact, at the time. And I'm reeling in a jitterbug going plop, 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 plop. And all of a sudden there's a splash, you know, and I feel the tug and I set the hook. But my line, instead of going down towards the water, it's going up in the air. And one of my brother-in-laws was with me. He says, holy, you know what? Look, you got an owl. There's an owl. And its talons cut the line. And at the when he first said it's an owl, I'm thinking, I don't want it anywhere near me. You know, I mean, so
I'd be loosening the drag real quick.
Yeah, well, it cut the line, and so that was good. But another time, I think it was a blue heron or a kingfisher or one of those type. I forget what it was. I was bringing in a Zara Spook on Oconomowoc Lake. I'm bringing in some Zara Spook. And this thing comes swooping down. He's going to try to grab that Zara Spook. I reeled like crazy to get it back in the boat. Then the thing, since I reeled it in so fast, it started flying away. It was like halfway across the bay. I made another cast, started reeling it. It turned around, started coming again. I thought, you crazy son of a gun, you know. Had to reel it in real fast again, you know. And then wait until he got away, a long ways away where he wouldn't come back again. But, yeah, you never know what you might catch. Didn't you catch a duck one time? Well, we caught a seagull.
I got a seagull one time. I was at the nuclear plant casting and back by Two Rivers and Point Beach Nuclear Plant, and I just had a cheap Zebco 33, right? And I was chucking spoons, Cleos. And I launched a cast, and you know how you kind of just kind of time it, and you can kind of see when the bait lands in the water?
Yeah.
So I'm looking out at the water, and I don't see nothing. I don't see there was no splashdown.
There's my lure there, hey?
And I'm like, ooh, I got the wind. Good cast, right? Got the wind at my back. And then I look at my reel. And you know how the line comes out of the Zebco 33, the little hole, right?
Yeah.
Line is just smoking out of there like crazy. It's going flying out.
Yeah.
And I'm, what the heck? And I look up, and then I see about 100 yards out, that's when I hit the end of the spool.
Yeah.
That's when the seagull hit the water.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, I'll tell you, when my friend we were up at the Port Washington Pier, and he got a seagull on. We were like teenagers then.
Right.
And he got a seagull on, and there was a guy there. Some of the older guys, they had the long nets, you know.
Right.
Netted it, and then he was going to undo it, and that seagull bit him in the thigh close to his
you know what?
Family jewels.
Yeah.
And the guy hollered. I mean, I guess they bite pretty hard. But he got it undone and let the thing go.
Mine wasn't
arm.
Hooked in the lure. It was
this one was just tangled.
Mine was tangled.
Just tangled.
And I actually wound it in to the beach and somehow got it untangled and avoided the wrath of the angry seagull. Plus, he was a little tired from fighting.
I suppose, yeah.
He was fighting me the whole way as I was trying to wind him over the waves.
All right, folks, we got to go to a break. We got more interesting stuff coming up. 799-1250 is the phone number. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Neubauer drones.
The drones.
Spy drone.
The spy drone.
The new spy.
Spy. Probably outlaw that. Oh, this is a great song, Danny.
There's a man who lived a life of danger.
Great.
It's about you. It's about you, Tom.
Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. And every move he makes, another man's he takes.
Yeah.
Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. Giving you a number and taking away your name.
This is a great song. I haven't heard this in years. Good choice. Oh, secret agent man.
Was this like part of a theme song for a TV show or anything?
It
wasn't the man from Uncle, was it?
No.
It was like Nick Danger or something?
Something like that.
I used
Danger
to.
Man. I can't remember. Danger I remember man. All the words.
I used to.
I used to
love watching The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah.
That was, Napoleon Solo? Han Solo. There was the blonde-haired guy and then the dark-haired guy.
That was Ilya Koryakin. And then Napoleon Solo, I think it was.
Napoleon Solo.
Yeah.
I think they were Russian guys colluding with Trump.
Yeah, they're colluding. Okay, who
and
you
then
gotta...
there was a hot looking the chick from U.N.C.L.E.
Well, of course.
As a young guy. Was that Stephanie Powers that did? I think she was the girl from U.N.C.L.E.
Well, let's take these calls.
She was hot.
Maybe they'll know. Okay, who do you got?
First up, we got Captain Dave.
All right. Hey, good morning, Captain Dave.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's shaking?
What's on your mind today?
Well, just heading out to pick up my boat.
Hey, all right.
You know, it's that time of year. A couple of things. We're heading up to Fox River tonight.
Is this the big O?
It is.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I thought so. I recognize your voice, Dave. All right. You're going up to the Fox. Is that open now?
Remind your listeners about, you know, the maintenance part of, you know, before you get out. I store the boat inside, and I kind of putz on the things over the wintertime that need attention, but I do drop it off, you know, whatever your favorite dealership is. And, you know, that's the time to get the maintenance done from, you know, the wheel bearings and checking the brakes and the wiring to, you know, I have it always, you know, run on the, you know, they kind of run it on that computer. It gives you error code.
Right,
kind of tells you what's going on there.
Right.
And, you know, it's a great peace of mind to start because, you know, we're all excited to get out on the, you know, get out on our fishing trips, but, you know, this pays off even down the road when you're heading up, you know, in the summertime to Canada or whatever. Yeah. But I always get that done early. So, you know, if nobody else is fishing this weekend, maybe think about, you know, doing some maintenance on your rig and then you'll be all set for the season. But, yeah, pretty excited heading up to the Fox.
Is the Fox River open?
It is from Voyager down, you know, past 172 or so. And, you know, more each day, but the current strong, there's floaters out there, but, you know, hey, we don't need much of a window to dip the boat, right?
Right.
So,
you know, you brought up a really good point, Dave, about wheel bearings, having those checked every year. If a person, and this happened to me, and if a person ever had a wheel bearing go out on their trailer while they're someplace in the middle of nowhere, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You will then start get your getting your wheel bearings checked every year.
Well,
yeah, that's a pain.
Let me ask you guys. I've got the when I got my boat trailer new in 2005, it had the newfangled bearing buddies. Well, it actually it's liquid. It's filled with liquid and it's clear on the outside.
Yeah.
And basically you can look and see, and it's a self-sealed type unit.
You can see where your grease is.
And you don't have to get it repacked every year.
Right, you don't have to repack it.
I haven't had to do anything with that, but I
wonder, you got to check them. You got to make sure
I look at the level.
Right, see that the level is up. Yeah.
And if the level's okay, but I guess there's supposed to be some kind of a fitting or something where if you needed to add some. But I wouldn't even know what kind of grease to add.
Wheel bearing grease.
Well,
yeah, there's a,
but it's a liquid.
For Ranger, there's a high temp loop that's pumped in there. But you know, on the back of one of my hubs, the seal, you know, they wear out. You leave that trailer in the water, and water does seep in there, and all of a sudden, the viscosity of your oil in there is going to be compromised. It may look like you have the proper amount, but you know, one of my seals was bad. There was no fluid in there at all. I got 2013, you know, so.
Well, I was told you look at the color, and if the color's like dark, but if it gets all like milky and stuff, then maybe there's water in there.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've got one of those pumps that's got.
You pull off that wheel, you're going to kind of inspect things. Both of my Ranger has a kind of a unique setup on the rear where the hub spindle is kind of like attached to the axle. And both of them were loose. I mean, not like dangerously loose, but they weren't tight. Mm-hmm. And I never, you know, again, you're finding this stuff. You know, there was one of the wires for the backup lights. Must have hit something on the road. That was broke. So, you know, I think you'll find more when you crawl underneath there. And, of course, having a inside heated storage really kind of makes these kind of maintenance things easier than laying out in the cold. But you know, if it's something over your head, you don't want to deal with it, you know, take it to the dealer, take it to somebody who works on them all the time, and it's just peace of mind. And we've all seen it. We're driving up to Canada, you're all gassed, and all of a sudden there's a dude at the side of the road and the wheel's laying somewhere, and he's up there dragging the thing, and they're like, how do you, that would just totally ruin a trip right away.
Yeah,
you know,
I was up in coming home from Minnesota from Leech Lake, and that happened to me. And I was like in the middle of nowhere. Where do you find a bearing in the middle of nowhere? After that happened, I always kept a spare bearing in the glove compartment just in case.
Well, I was just going to mention that. You're only as good as your best spare. And
yep.
I have a box in the back of the truck. My kids tease me all the time, but I'm like, I could literally rebuild or put the cap that holds the fluid in. There's extra lug nuts. There's a whole extra caliper in there. I mean, you got to have all those pieces, because if you don't have the spares, man, you know, you're just going to be out of luck and you ain't going to be fishing. So,
well, you know,
maybe it's age or whatever. Yeah. You think about that stuff as you go along. You know?
No, but it's important. If it happens to you once, it'll never happen again.
One time I was driving back from fishing with my dad in his old little Alumacraft boat. And we're going down the highway 53 coming out of Superior. And all of a sudden, in the left-hand lane, one of the trailer tires from the boat trailer goes flying by us. I couldn't believe how fast that thing was going. And we're like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And so we pulled off to the side of the road. And, you know, I walked for, I swear to God, a mile up the road into the median looking into the, we never found that tire. Fortunately, we had a spare.
Hey, Dave, we got to go to a break, but do us a favor. Call us next week and let us know how you did up at the Fox, all right?
We'll do. We're going to spend the weekend, and then I'll be up there most of April and May, and we'll switch from walleye to smallies. And, so I'll at least be able to tell you what not to do or share some success stories.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Take care, Dave.
All right. Bye now.
Yep. Bye.
Oh, that's good. That's good information. I'm glad to hear that the Fox is partially open, that you're able to get a boat on it and go up there, because every spring, there's a handful of people who catch a monster egg-laden walleye, you know, that's just a pig. So they're up there, folks. Anyway, we got to go to a quick break. I'll tell you what. Third caller. How's this? Third caller to the show today. Well, during this break.
Tell us who the hot chick was from Man from U.N.C.L.E. And you'll win.
No. Third caller will win a one-year subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine. The third caller, Badger Sportsman Magazine, 799-1250. Get a free one-year subscription. We'll be right back with more. Secret.
Lake Hero gets lots of walleyes. Lake Link Hero, lots of walleyes.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. And yes, my friends, the Big O is driving on up to go to the Bay Area, back where I was famous back in the day. Me and Bart Starr were the two most popular dudes in town. I'd go out shaking hands, kissing babies. I knew everybody. That's, yes, indeed, back when I managed the Wisconsin Athletic Club Health Club and was the man back in the day.
That's funny.
Yep.
Well, this is the time of year where these rivers are going to start popping open. People are going to start walleye fishing. And we still have people getting out on ice fishing because most of our area lakes, if you can get onto the ice, because the shorelines are getting really bad, if you can get onto the ice, there's like 10, 12 inches of ice out there. So it's safe ice. Once you get out there, it's getting to it. That's the tough part. A friend of mine lives on Pewaukee Lake. I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he said, oh, there's one guy walking out there. There was nobody else out there, but he said, oh, there's a guy walking out, you know, carrying the buckets and whatever, you know. So there was one hardy soul going out. But over at Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop, which will be opening the Saturday before opening day, and that's going to be Mistake on the Lake, where you can buy and sell people's stuff. You just bring stuff out there to sell it. You can buy it, you know, used, new, whatever. And, of course, the shop will be open. But anyway, under all the docks there at Smokey's, it's all open water under the docks. And the shoreline is pretty crappy, you know, between the docks. It's I think you could just step in a little bit of water and then get on good ice. But I personally wouldn't trust it, you know. Well, just trying to get out.
I guess this time of year, I guess, is a good time if you can get on safe ice to catch some big gills and stuff.
Well, this one guy I know, he was catching big crappies last week on Little Muskego. He had to go through a little bit of water before he got on the good ice, you know. But, he was catching them, so.
Would he put waders on and walk out to the ice then?
He probably had, those mud boots that come up to your knees, you know. So that you can walk in a foot of water and not get wet.
So you need a big pair of rubber boots, in other words.
Yeah, big pair of rubber boots, yep. Yeah. A pair of rubber boots, yep. Sometimes you got to do that. And, you know, some ice anglers are really crazy for ice fishing. You know, they really, really enjoy it, and they're going to get out as much as they can, you know. So,
Speaking of,
most people are done.
Now is probably the time to go and pick up deals on ice fishing gear, except for Tom. He packed it all
away
at Sherpers. But
most other bonehead. Hey, but most other stores did too. They all did too. They put it all away. Yeah,
but some places you can get like 50% off on stuff. So
some,
you can,
some maybe. But this week, you know what I did, Danny? This week I got I got two jig boxes,
mm-hmm.
big Plano boxes. One is full of all different sizes of unpainted jigs, and then another box has got anywhere from a 16th ounce all the way up to half ounce, and I got all the compartments and all different colors, different sizes, short shank, long shank, all different kinds of jigs, because I used to fish rivers a lot, you know, for walleyes. So I got this box of painted jigs, but I thought to myself, I better check these, because I bet you some of these hooks have rust on them. And sure enough, I went through all of them, and I found a handful that had starting to get rust on the hooks. And I don't want any of those, you know, in my box. I don't want any hooks.
No rusty hooks.
No, you don't want that. That's a time when you're using one of those hooks, and you get your fish of a lifetime on, and, of course, the hook breaks, you know. So, no, I don't want to take any chances. But like I said last week and a week before, this is the time of year where you get your stuff ready, you know, because the season, before you know it, it's going to be here.
Well,
you know?
I've found that over the years, Tom, I've gotten better, where it used to be by the time the fall hit mm-hmm. and I put everything away, it was like a disaster. Everything
yeah.
jumbled
oh, it
together.
Is. Yeah.
Not anymore for me.
No?
I'm more organized now,
yeah?
Tom.
Yeah?
Yeah, my stuff, I got to organize it a little bit, but by and large, I'll be ready to rock and roll.
You know what I'd like? You know, my stuff is organized, but it just gets messy organized, you know?
It's an organized mess.
Yeah, exactly. And because I've got different boxes for different lures and for different species of fish and whatever. But one thing I got to get this year, I'm going to switch over. I bought this one spinnerbait box. It's like a flat Plano, kind of like what, like 14 inches by 8 inches yeah. or 10 inches, whatever. You know, it's flat. And they got those little grooves in there that hold. They don't hold the spinnerbaits. They fall. They go all over the place. I think I'm going to get one of those little boxes where you can hang them straight vertical, you know, hang them vertically so that they don't get all messed up together. Because the one box has spinnerbaits and buzzbaits. That's what I have in it.
Right.
Know? So I got to get one of those little square boxes where I can hang them. Because I don't have to take many spinnerbaits with me, you know. But I just want less of a mess, you know. Because otherwise they all end up on one side, you know, all clumped together. And I don't like that, you know. Not when you want to change spinnerbaits quick or you lose a blade and you got to put a different one on. And now you got to try to untangle all these different things now. I got to get a new box this year. I'll be getting that.
Well, why don't you like go to a sporting goods store like Sherper's maybe?
Well, I think I'll do that.
Maybe you know someone who can, or head up to Midwestern Shooter Supply.
Yeah,
I was planning on going up there last weekend. If you get up to Midwestern Shooter Supply, a lot of fishermen don't realize they've got a tremendous fishing department there. Tremendous.
Yeah, it is, and a lot of they have the inexpensive stuff and the really good stuff, the stuff that costs you more. I mean, they've got both. They can catch you all from low end to high end and anywhere in the middle.
Randy has a lot of captains and got guys, you know, tournament fishermen stop in there.
Yeah.
He's got a tremendous assortment of walleye crankbaits.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's got, yeah. So
and he's got a lot of Lake Michigan stuff.
Yeah. So he's got a lot of stuff. He knows. The stuff that he has, he knows these are the things that the guys, the guides, the captains,
right.
the tournament guys, these are the baits people are looking for. So,
right.
yeah, so
you know
swing on up there and you got to pick up some stuff.
You know what's this isn't really new. It's new to people nowadays, called the Ned Rig. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I was using the Ned Rig.
Okay. Now, you know what's funny? Using a small plastic worm on a jig head is not new, all right? It's not new. It's been around for a long time. But I was thinking the other day, you know, because Ned Rigs use about a 3-inch worm, okay? Now, back in the day,
the
I would
Shroom
use...
Shroom TMZ
right,
is the one you want
right.
to buy.
Little stand-up heads, mushroom heads, stand-ups, you know,
yep.
those are good. Now, back in the day, I would use a 4-inch worm on the small head, right? But... I was thinking this week, you know, those Mini Mite 3s, the bigger ones?
Yeah.
That's the perfect size for a Ned Rig.
Well, the thing with the Shroom TMZ, plastic is it stands straight up. It
right.
doesn't sag. So it's kind of like it's the right material
yeah,
as opposed
yeah.
to just, you know, cutting any old power bait worm and putting a 4-inch on
right,
there. So it works
right.
really
it's
good.
Different.
So if you buy the hook, the Shroom TMZ and you get the system where they got the hooks, they got the worms. We used it up on the Mink River 2-3 years ago when we were watching some guy with soft plastics catch all kinds of smallmouth and we weren't getting anything. And so that's when Horton said, I'm going to try this Ned Rig. I got this one. I've never tried it before. I hear it's good.
Yeah.
And he started nailing them. And shoot, I was up there last year. I and my brother Tim were with Horton on same cast. I had a Ned Rig on. My brother Tim had a Ned Rig on. And we simultaneously had 19 and 20 inch Smalley on at the same time.
Yeah.
Wound them both in, took a picture holding both of them and back. It works great.
I'm going to have to put some of those in at the store at Sherper's. In Hale's Corners. I'm going to have to do that.
Tell you what, it works.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. But right now, what we're going to do is go to a break. We got one more break coming up. That's it. This is the last break. We're down for the last furlong in this ride on the crazy train, Danny.
Whatever, dude. Do you know why the Ned Rig is called the Ned Rig?
Because some guy named Ned
came
Ned
up with it, yep.
Said, and
it's very original.
Yeah, Ned Rig.
Just like Ron Popeil named his...
The Popeil's
pocket fisherman.
Speaking of that, you know where I
boy does it catch fish?
Yeah, you know
Remember
where
that
I saw
ad?
That being used one time. This was so hilarious. It was a Pete. This is when Lee Trevino was really big on the PGA Tour. This is years ago,
the
right?
Funny Mexican guy,
right? Lee Trevino is awesome. He's a good golfer too. But anyway, it was a rain delay.
Yeah.
Okay. His caddy is holding that big golf umbrella over his head. Yeah. He's got a little Popeil pocket fisherman he's casting in one of the ponds that's there on the golf course. All the other golfers are in the clubhouse because it's a rain delay. He's sitting there fishing with a Popeil pocket fisherman. It was hilarious.
I got one of those when I was a kid and never used it once. I used the regular rod and reel. So
it's awesome.
Yep. And when we come back,
yeah,
I'm going to talk about the inspiration for the Popeil's pocket fisherman.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me. We'll be right back, folks, here on both Sports Radio 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Memory techniques are working for you.
This is Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back. Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this morning. We got a lot of listeners out there. Friends, family, strangers, foes. We got them. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
And what do you want to say about the North Lake launch, Danny?
Where the heck is the North Lake launch? I guess somebody called with a question about North Lake. Now, there is a small launch that you can take a small boat in there, though.
Yeah, real small.
And that's why I think you ought to get back to that small. It'd be nice and relaxing to get a little canoe and paddle back there. And you'd get a little exercise, Tom, for criminy Christ's
sake. Me and
sake.
Canoes don't get along.
No?
No. First time I was in a canoe, I fell out of it. I tipped it over. And I said, that's it. I'm never going in one again. Oh, got to remind everybody real quick. Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls on Pilgrim and Silver Spring is now, the gas station, Carl's gas station, is now handling live bait. There's a big sign out there that says live bait. They got night crawlers, leaf worms, red worms, and wax worms. So they will have live bait now. They got it now, as a matter of fact, right now.
Now, Tom? Can
right
you go
now.
Out there, Tom, and
right
pick up some
now.
Bait right now if I wanted to go out to Carl's Country Meat?
Right now they got it.
Did you say they got minnows too?
No minnows.
No minnows.
No minnows, no. That would be a pain in the butt. Oh, you know, we were talking about memory earlier, and I forgot to mention it. Remember you were listening to a guy about memory stuff?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
What?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm terrible. I don't know about you, Nick. Are you guys terrible with names?
Tom, like, you are really bad
I know,
with names.
I'm pretty good with them, Tim.
But I mean, when somebody introduces you to somebody and they say, hey, okay, this is Joe Blow, whatever, and whatever the guy's first name is Joe.
Joe Blow is easy to remember.
Now, the thing is, though, is that you start talking to Joe, and after about 2 minutes, you forgot what his name is. And then you feel like an idiot, you know, because you don't remember what his name is.
Because you are an idiot.
Wait a minute. Here's the trick on what you do.
I am an idiot.
Yeah, this works. Trust me. This works. So you meet somebody, and they introduce him. His name is Joe, or lady's name, or whatever.
Memory technique from Tom Newbar, that's what the guy was talking about.
If you use their name in the first sentence when you're talking to them, and if you use it two or three times in that first minute that you're talking to them, you won't forget it.
Tom. No wonder I can see why you weren't ever the world's greatest salesman, because if you were, you would have known that the sweetest thing to anybody's ears is
their own name. Yeah, well,
that's why salespeople.
Yeah.
Just ask Zig Ziglar, Dale Carnegie.
Yep.
That's one of those other guys.
Well, that's why somebody told me this years ago, and I do it, and sometimes I forget to do it. But if I do it, I remember that person's name. And what's really cool is that same person, let's say, comes into the store. Let's say comes into Sherper's a week or two later. I would say 50 to 75% of the time, I'll remember that person's name. And it's so nice when you come into a store and somebody says, hi, Tom, or hi, Dan, you know, that they remember your name. That is so cool.
I used to screw up where back in the old, you know, partying days, you'd go on out, you'd meet a girl and forget her name. And I was always so focused.
Forget her name.
I'd
hey,
be
you.
So focused on trying to carry on a good conversation, this and that I'd totally walk away. And things would be looking good, and I'd walk over to my buddy, and I forgot her name. Can you go back over and find out what her name is? You got to go back over there.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. I'll buy you a beer. Go find out.
Yeah.
I feel like a total idiot.
It's better than you going back over there and saying, hey, Thunder Thighs. Hey. You wouldn't want to say that.
Hey, Chunky Cheeks.
You wouldn't want to say. Or you could say, hey, Beautiful. You know, hey, sweetie. There you go. You can always use that. Hey, sweetie.
Tom Neubauer's pickup lines. It's a good thing you got married right out of high school, dude.
It is good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Although
she is a bully.
Your wife is?
My wife's a bully to me. Just to me. She's
is
a
she?
Bully. Yeah, she's a bully.
Yeah?
Yeah, she bullies me around, and I'm scared of her. She's a little woman, but I'm scared of her.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's a bully.
You know, he is, Nick. Tom does try and act like a tough guy, but I can kind of tell that she kind of tells him, like you'd be like, you know, like before you'd go on a trip, you wouldn't be able, if I asked you, Tom, if I said, let's go on a trip so-and-so, you wouldn't be able to say, yeah, I'll go, let's do it. You'd have to say, tell him what you'd say, Tom.
Well,
Let's hear it. Years ago,
I would say, yeah, let's go. But
no,
I was always considerate by saying, let me check with the wife first to make sure nothing important's going on. Because I would forget important things.
You just go and tell her, I'm going.
That's why he's not married. That's why.
By the way.
Although I have.
I'm going.
I have done this where we'll be sitting at the kitchen table and she'll be doing something. And I want her, let's say, something else. And I'll lift up my foot and I'll say, don't make me put this down. You know, putting my foot down.
Oh, okay, I got it.
My foot down. Yeah. Or if she'll say I can't do something, I really will say this. Depending on what age I'm at, all right? Well, right now it's 66.
Right.
So I'll say to her, I'm 66 years old. I'll do whatever the hell I want to do. You know, you get to a point where you can say that. You can't say that when
I had
you're
a
like
buddy
30.
Of mine was
you
supposed know, to
you gotta wait a while.
I had a buddy of mine was supposed to go on a fishing trip with me once years ago. We had it all planned, and the night that he was going to leave, he was actually riding with another friend of mine. When he went to pick the guy up, the wife had like a sudden like terrible illness came upon her,
mm-hmm.
You know, sick, throwing up, this and that. And so the guy had to say, oh, geez, I really can't go. And then took her to the hospital. There was nothing. Took her to the emergency room or whatever hospital. She was back the next day. She was okay.
Mm.
It was all a psychosomatic.
Yeah.
He's going away. He's going to be gone. Oh, well, I'm sick. Oh, don't leave me. And because she was a nut.
Well, let me leave you with this piece of wisdom that, you know, how you treat people, how you, you know, do things in life. It's all dependent upon four characteristics that are built into every human being. That is choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholic. Those four characteristics are built in to people's
makeup. What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
I'll explain it next week.
This got away from
did
me,
Did he
Danny.
Just say flatulism or something like that? I heard a flat.
Choleric and melancholy and loving the time of cholera. I don't know.
Choleric, sanguine, melancholic, and phlegmatic. We all have a makeup of those four tendencies in our characteristics, all human beings.
Did you learn this back in the days when you were writing poetry and smoking weed?
Neither.
Okay.
Neither.
He was a musician, you know, Nick. They lived a wild lifestyle.
No. No. Marijuana was not my choice.
No?
No. Alcohol. Alcohol.
Busch Light.
No.
Whiskey. You were a whiskey. Really?
Still am. Yeah.
When did the Crown Royal come about?
I don't remember.
But that has a little
that
shocker.
That goes back to that memory
shocker,
thing.
Tom.
Yeah, it's a shocker. I don't remember.
Is this why I was Nate my first month on the show?
Yeah, that's right. I did call you Nate that one time. Just once, though.
So,
well, at least it began with a man.
Speaking of the Crown Royal, here's your Cutting Edge Outdoors tip of the week.
Ooh.
You know, we ought to make that a segment.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, write that down.
Okay. Well, I put away my pen. And paper.
For our planning meet. The Crown Royal bags make great real cases.
Yeah, holders. Yeah.
Holders, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so save those bags.
Yeah. They also are nice to put change in it.
Tom.
When you go over to a family's out thing and you're going to play little cards for nickel and dimes, you know, you put all your change in one of those things, you know. Yeah, those are nice. They can be used for a number of things, actually, you know.
Right. Things, yeah. And that way you won't have to put another quarter on a table, which will force another quarter off.
Right, exactly. Hey, you were paying attention.
I'm so poor I can't pay attention.
All right, Danny, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Get out there, do something nice for someone, my friends, and get some sun today. We'll talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.